Got it.
Okay. There's such a sweet presence of the Lord here this morning. Amen. Just an awesome, awesome, sweet spirit. You all sense that this morning? Just like I'm just coming to love on you for a little while today. Amen. We want to honor or recognize the fathers today. I guess we can honor you too. We just want to recognize the fathers today. If you want to stand up, I just want to pray God's blessings on you. And we got you a little gift this morning just to say that we appreciate each and every one of you all, and we just want to recognize you and say a prayer over you this morning. Thank you, Father. Lord, we're just thankful for our fathers today that's in our midst. We just speak your blessings upon them, God. We thank you that you have watched over them, and as they continue to guide their family under your leadership and children they may have at home, as they continually speak your word to them, or their grown children that they still are concerned about that are away from home, that you give them peace concerning them, Father. We just speak your blessings over them today, Father. And as the scripture that we put in the bulletin, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Sky's got just a little something for you this morning, so if you want to just receive that today, amen. We're going to be talking today about moving forward. Yes. Moving forward. No parking. I didn't put this in my notes, but as a Christian, the only time that you need to park is to rest. You know, you're on a long trip, and they have rest stops along the way. You just stop and rest. What does that do? You get refreshed and move on. But in our Christian journey, we're not called to stop and park in the parking lot and stay there. So that's what we're going to be learning today. And it's so relevant that the scripture that the Holy Spirit gave us at the first of the year is, about moving forward. Boy, we had to lean on that this year. Because I don't know about you all. Of course, I'm still laid off from work. There's times that I still just want to look at everything that's going on and think, you know, let's just go hunker down somewhere and get away from everybody and everything. You know, I don't know if you all felt like that sometimes, because you could get overwhelmed with everything going on, and you're just thinking, let's just go to the backwoods and live off the grid. But God's not called us to go to the backwoods and live off the grid, because Jesus was the lighthouse, and guess who is the lighthouse now? We are, because of his grace that's been given to us. Father, I thank you for this word today. Lord, I just thank you. I just speak to every fear that may want to come up on me, all anxiety, all nervousness, God. I thank you that you're just calming that down, that I can speak forth your words from your heart today, God. I come against every distraction in the name of Jesus for plans that's made this afternoon to thoughts comes to us as, Lord, this we got to do this next week or that next week. We've come to hear just for a moment in time, Lord, what you have to say to us, God. To be encouraged in your word. And everybody said, amen. Tell your neighbor this morning, you can't park now. Can't park now. So I've come to tell somebody this morning, get the word quit out of your vocabulary. You've come too far. You saw too much. You experienced the highs of life. You've experienced the lows of life. You've seen the hand of God move on your behalf if you stood in awe of his goodness. Wow. I could run right there. You have stood when others said to have quit. You are in your now season. No parking. Keep moving forward. This is your now season. Say, this is my now season. Now or never. Amen. So I know there are a lot of crazy things going on in the world with everybody doing what's right in their own eyes, and that's what's happening. They're following their flesh. They're following the dictates of what their flesh is telling them to do, and they're doing what's right in their own eyes. That's why there's so much darkness, causing chaos everywhere. But you know what? In the midst of all of that, I have got an excitement in my spirit that I haven't had in years. Hallelujah. There is. Wow. I feel the fire of God right now, church. There is something on the horizon. My goodness. There is something on the horizon, church. Hallelujah. I have an expectation in my spirit that something is breaking loose in the atmosphere. Woo. we can't be parking. No. So the expectation is higher than ever to see the glory of God in the earth. So we know from Scripture that when light stands in darkness, light always wins. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we look out there and we see a whole lot of people not walking in darkness. So they're not following the light of Jesus. Amen. We also know from Joel 2:25 that God can restore what is broken and change it into something amazing. Amen. So God took one man, a murderer, and changed his life. Nobody is out with is limited to God's outstretched arm. Saul, you remember Saul? He was zealous in his own way in all that he did. If I'm going to give you a little background of Saul here. In Philippians 3:4-6, after his name was changed to Paul, he said, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee is as for zeal, persecuting the Christian church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. When Stephen was killed, we read that Saul was there, watching as they stoned him. The day Stephen was martyred, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all the apostles were scattered at that moment. At that time, Saul began to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging off Christians and putting them in prison. And at this time, he obtained letters from the Jewish religious leaders to the Jews in Damascus to bring back the Christians to Jerusalem to punish them. But something happened. One moment in time can change a person's life. On the road to Damascus, he got near there. A bright light shone from heaven, flashed around about him. He fell to the ground, heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? He asked. He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And he said, Saul, get up and go to Damascus. And the bright light, as we know, said that caused Paul to be blinded. And for 3 days, he could not see. There's a lot of things can happen in 3 days. Amen. So while in Damascus, Jesus instructed a devout follower of the way, that's what they were called back then, Christians were called followers of the way, to pray for Saul that his sight might be restored. When he did, guess what happened? Immediately, when we pray for somebody, we ought to expect it immediately to happen. He said immediately Saul could see. Saul was told that he would be Jesus, witnesses to all men of what he had seen and heard. Saul got up, was baptized, and became a follower of Jesus, and he never looked back. Amen. The Saul, the persecutor, became Paul, a devout follower of Christ. So to a person whose life was committed to the killing of Christians, to the woman in the Bible that we read about that was caught in the very act of adultery, surrounded by her accusers, to the one who is addicted to drugs that can't seem to stay clean, to the one who is depressed and cannot get out of the bed someday, to the one who is bitter because of what life may have thrown them, our God is a life-changing God, and all it takes is one encounter for that person's life to be changed. Amen. He never leaves that one that is struggling. And he does not see gender. He does not see race. But he sees a person created in his image for his glory. Amen. So Paul from the Damascus Road experience, his life at that moment was reaching forth, ever forward, going forward. So our life as believers is viewed as a continual journey. We are on a journey because this world is not our home. We are on a journey. And Paul again tells us in 3:12, I'm not saying that I have all this together, that I have made it. He says, but I'm well on my way. We got anybody well on their way today? Aren't you glad you're not where you were? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Moving forward, reaching out, moving forward for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, Paul says, let's stay on it. Yeah. Amen. The Amplified Bible reads it like this. Not that I've attained or have already been made perfect or mature. I press on to lay hold of and make my own that for which Christ Jesus the Messiah has laid hold of me and made his own. You know, Jesus laid hold on Paul that day and he made him his own. And it was such a dramatic experience, Paul's life was never the same. He said, I don't consider, brethren, that I've captured it, made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it's one of my aspirations, forgetting what lies behind. And what does he say I do? He said, I strain forward to what lies ahead. I press to the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. So another translation reads, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made. And the enemy whispers, you've not done anything. You've not come very far. Because if you slip up and say something or do something, then what does he do? The condemner comes in. He begins to say, well, if you were really. But here Paul says, you've got to hold on to the progress that you've already made. Amen. Amen. So he pictures in this particular passage of Scripture a Greek runner. As he runs along the prescribed course, he banishes all thoughts of past failures because he knows that once he begins to get in that race, if he gets weighed down, he's not going to be able to run. What's going to happen? He's going to have to park himself because he's not going to be able to run. And he strains everything in him in an effort on reaching his goal. And his one and only concern is to win the race that was set before him to run. So, you know, if we're to succeed in life, church, if we're to go where God has sent for us to go and do what he sent for us to do, we must be very deliberately and purposely keeping our eye on the prize of which Christ Jesus is calling us upward and to press on. The woman with the issue of blood, if she hadn't pressed through, she would have never got her healing. You know, so sometimes we have to press through when we are moving forward because life sometimes isn't easy and we don't have all the answers to everything. So press on means to keep going forward. Paul's great success in being who he was and wrote all the gospels that he wrote and doing all the things that he did. Yes, he was persecuted. He was thrown in prison and all that. But his great success in doing all was that he kept going forward. He didn't take the time to stop in pity lane and to reminisce on his past failures of being a murderer. Even in persecution, even in hard times, he held on to the progress that he had already made. He didn't have nothing to quit for. Church, we don't have anything to quit for. There's nothing back there. So he held on to the progress he had already made by moving forward and not holding on to the past. And what God had for Paul was not where he had come from, but it was called a place. It was a place called there. That the appointed place. And the enemy wants to keep you from your appointed place because that is where the calling is. That's where the anointing is. That's where the blessing is at. That's where the purpose is at. Don't part. Keep moving forward to those blessed places because there's all kinds of there places in our life. And if we stayed parked on our journey, we'll never get to where we're going. That's why it's okay to pull into a rest area and stop. But if you're headed to Louisiana and you stop in the rest place and never go any further, you're never going to get to Louisiana. You're going to die in the rest stop. Amen? So this is where your purpose is at. Don't park. Keep moving forward to those blessed places called there in life. And there are many, many of them. Many, many of them. Job 17:19, our scripture that Holy Spirit gave us the first of the year, says, keep moving forward. The righteous keep moving forward. Those upright and in right standing with God. You know, in Philippians 3, Paul talks about righteousness found in living by the law compared to living by righteousness found in Jesus. Philippians 3 reads, and Paul writes, concerning the righteousness of the law, no one surpassed me. He said, I was good at keeping the law. I was good at keeping the law. I kill people. I murder people. I was so good at it. Furthermore, as a fiery defender of the truth, of what he knew to be the truth, I persecuted the believers with a religious zeal. Yet all the accomplished that I once took credit for, I've now forsaken them, and I regard it as nothing compared to the light of experiencing Jesus Christ as my Lord. Wow. To truly know him meant letting go of everything. I passed throwing all my boasting on the garbage heap. It's all like a pile of manure to me now, so that I may be enriched in the reality of what of knowing Jesus Christ and embracing him as Lord in all of his greatness. My passion is to be consumed with him and not clinging on my own righteousness based in keeping the written law. He said, I was a law keeper to the T. And the zeal that Paul had for the persecution of the church, he took that zeal and turned it into a zeal for the righteous cause of Jesus Christ. And sometimes the area, when we're out there in the world, the area that the enemy wants us to most focus on, if we can just turn that around, amen, we can use it for the glory of God. He said, my righteousness will be his based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the very righteousness that comes from God. And he said, then I will continually know, long to know the wonders of Jesus more fully and to experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. You have the resurrection power continually working in you. We are on our way to maturity. And it will be finalized when we go through those gates one day. Because none of us have arrived yet. Remember what Job said. He said, the righteous keep moving forward. Those are upright and right standing with God. And one thing that keeps believers from moving forward is they get stuck in the past and they park there. From the moment of the unforgettable Damascus experience, Paul's life was that moment on was a constant reaching forward. He said, I've got to reach forward to what's ahead in Christ Jesus. And that resurrection power is going to make it possible. I have to receive it, believe it, and trust and have faith in it. Paul never looked back. He tells us in Hebrews 12, fixing our eyes. When you are fixing on something, you are gazing intentionally at it. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Paul knew he had done some bad things to a lot of people. He knew he had a past that was not pleasing to God. But he knew he had to forget that which he'd done in order to move forward to what God was calling to him. That was to know Christ. And like the beginning, I read the scripture. Once you begin to know someone and know the attention that they have given you, it will cause you to love them more. And you get to know them intimately. I heard once intimately was into me see God. Yeah. Into me see. Know me. Know my heart. I want to know you as you know me. And then I'll be able to love people as you love. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, for our sake he made him to be no sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So why is righteousness so important for us as believers to understand and embrace? Everything was moving forward. Because if you don't know who you are in Christ and what he has done for you, remember the dog with the tail I said one time that keeps chasing the tail and it's already there? That's how our life will be. We'll be spinning out of control, trying to be something. He says, I've already made you. Now you just be what I have made you. Amen. Amen. So why is righteousness so important to understand and embrace? Everything that's moving forward? Because if you don't have a revelation of what Christ has done for you, you will stay parked in the parking lot of condemnation, of guilt, of shame, of regret, of unforgiveness, of bitterness. Colossians 2:6 says, as you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, what do? So walk you in him. Have you ever tried walking backwards without looking? You can't do it. You're going to fall. Because where you're going is that way. Your eyes are in the front of your head for a reason. Yeah. Like the rear view mirror on the car for a reason. Yeah. If you were saved by putting your faith in God's grace alone, then you maintain that relationship the same way. By putting your faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So the failure to understand this, I heard Andrew Womack said, is at the root of all guilt and condemnation. Walk with him. Move forward. You are righteous for God. Your past is back there and all your future is ahead. So I challenge you to put your life in forward. He didn't put reverse in you. He put a forward motion in you. Let the Holy Ghost press the gas pedal of your life and get out of the parking lot of self-condemnation. We'd all done it different if we knew better. We didn't know better. But now that we are Christ and we understand his righteousness, we know better. So you, when you begin to know better, you what? You will do better. So as a child of God, that is not where you were meant to be. That was not where you were called to be. That is not the place that we were talking about their places. Those their places. Paul's moving forward in his relationship with God. Paul's moving forward in what God had called him to do was not based on what Paul could do or what Paul could do about his past. But he could not make himself right. He could not undo the past and make it right. Paul said, my righteousness now that I know Jesus will be based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the very righteousness that comes from God. You didn't make yourself righteous. You can't keep yourself righteous. It's simply trusting and believing what Jesus did for you on the cross. And it's a growing experience. It's a maturing experience into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you're back there in the parking lot of condemnation and guilt and shame and regret and remorse, you're never going to develop a relationship with him that will stagnate a relationship with God. So Andrew Womack said, if we understand our right standing with God on the basis of what Jesus did for us and not by our own actions, then Satan's power to condemn us is gone. Wow. If we understand our right standing with God on the basis of what Jesus did for us and not by our own actions, Satan's power over us will be gone. Woo! There is therefore now what? No condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. Amen. So those who live with a feeling of unworthiness are not trusting God's righteousness, but are looking at their own self-righteousness to make themselves right. You didn't make yourself right. You can't stay right. Because we're in this human body. We're going to do stuff that's not conducive to us as a child of God. But we don't let it condemn us. We don't stay there because the Spirit has been given to us that will quicken us. And if we are in tune with it, we'll know, oh, that's not really been a child of God. That's not really been a good witness. Amen. So I'm not moving forward based on my doing everything right. I don't move forward by trying to make myself right. Jesus made it all right for me. Now do you see why it's so important to understand righteousness in moving forward? Because if you don't understand who you are, that the righteous of God in Christ Jesus as a child of God, you will stay in the parking lot of condemnation. When he was on the cross, we were on his mind. Jesus made it all right for us. Paul said, and I continually long to know. We should continually long to know Jesus because we haven't scratched the surface yet. He said, I continually long to know the wonders of him more fully and to experience the overwhelming power of his resurrection working through me. Hallelujah. Galatians 2:20 and 21 says, I'm crucified with Christ. This is here Paul writing again. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, after my experience with Jesus, sometimes we have to get knocked off the donkey in order to see and become blinded to everything else around us. He said, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead. But thanks be to God, grace didn't come by the law. Grace came by Jesus Christ when he said it was finished on the cross. Woo! The blood still speaks. The blood still speaks. Don't frustrate the grace of God in your life. You're making it harder on yourself. Just receive it. You, like I said so many times in this sermon, you didn't do nothing to get it. You can't do nothing to hold on to it except trust Jesus. Except to trust Jesus. My new life, Paul goes on to say, is empowered by the faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses, I like that word, dispense, his life into mine. We cannot move forward on our own, but by the life that Jesus has dispensed into us. Wow. We know all about, you know, the hand rubbing thing now and the alcohol. And you dispense that sanitizer into your hands. What does it do? It gets rid of the germs. Hallelujah. And when Jesus dispensed his life into you, you were forgiven from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, from your past sins to your present sins to your future sins, and anything you could commit now between here and heaven, because your sin doesn't keep you out of heaven. The only thing that keeps you out of heaven is you not accepting Jesus Christ as Lord. And once you begin to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and begin to understand his love for you, understanding his grace, you will not want to sin. The desire of sin will be taken away from you then, because you don't quit focusing on your sin, and you begin to focus more and more on the grace of God. Does that mean that you're not going to sin? Absolutely not. But if we have a sin mentality all the time, guess what we're going to do? We're just going to sin, sin, sin. But I want to have a grace mentality. I want to move forward into what God is calling me to. I can't stay in this parking lot with my hands on the steering wheel and my windows rolled up and I've got that death grip on the steering wheel and I'm afraid to move out of the parking lot. He says, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Let go of the steering wheel. Take your foot off the brake. Roll down the windows and let yourself let the wind of God's grace flow over you so that you can go at warp speed. Oh, I just hear the Holy Ghost say, it is warp speed time now. Things have been held up and held back too long. And he said, the rain of my spirit is falling upon my church. And because of the darkness in the land, the Holy Spirit says, my spirit is coming in like a flood. And it's going to be warp speed time now. You're going to see a turnaround just in a blink of an eye, says God. So he says, I want you to stand and believe me. For the things that have been a long time coming are going to be short now. Hallelujah. Hey. Dispense to us his power to move forward. So we're not called to sit in the parking lot. Fear is overtaking the world. And when you live in fear, you'll become stagnated. And when you become stagnated, wow. So I encourage you today to go forward in God, to keep moving forward. Let go and let God receive his forgiveness, and you are free to be who God says you are. Not what anybody else says you are. Let's stand to our feet.
Amen.
Thank you for this word today, God, that you have dispensed into us. Hallelujah. Everything that we need to be overcomers in this life. I speak joy over your people today. I speak the spirit of joy that comes upon them. I speak the spirit of laughter in the face of the enemy that whispers in their ear, it can't be done, it won't be done. Who do you think you are? Ha ha. The Lord says to you that you are more than a conqueror in me. With all my dispensing power that I have given you. Wow. I speak hope renewed today in your life. I speak hope and peace renewed in your families today in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father God, for your word. That's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. That we are no longer held back by our past, but we are stepping into a new day. We are stepping into a new day, a new season. And we are in season for this season. Hallelujah. Oh, to bear much fruit for the kingdom and for the glory of God. I speak that your hands are blessed, your feet are blessed, your eyes are blessed to see as you've never seen before. And your ears, your spiritual ears are being opened to hear the sound waves from heaven. And the chatter that's been around you, it's being cut off. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there's a high frequency coming from heaven. Wow. Wow. To the people of God that says stand. And you've done all to stand. Hallelujah. Oh, shadati dokohobre kashahati asaya. Refill us today with your Holy Spirit of fire, God, even as it was on the day of Pentecost. Refill us today, Lord, with a fresh prayer language. Refill us today, God, with the Holy Ghost of the fire again. Oh, Lord, make us hungry for you, hungry to know you, hungry to see you move in the hearts of your people in this nation, God. They may tear down this and they may destroy that, but you will never be destroyed. Neither will your word go out void, but it will accomplish its purpose for therefore which it is sent. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, God. We love you, Jesus, and we praise you. All this within us, we will praise your holy name. We will praise you and bless you all the days of our lives, God. We thank you for that, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The one that right now where your kidneys are not functioning, I speak to your kidneys that seem to be drying up. There's life coming into them in the name of Jesus. Any kidneys right now, I speak life to them in the name of Jesus. I speak life to your kidneys to begin to function and operate the way God intended them to be. I know the doctors have told you this and that, but the report of the Lord to you is healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, katitare baba shadadida dokoho baba bahasaya. The one that's having deafness in their ear right now, and I specifically hear the right ear. God says he's going to make it right. He's making it right. Wow, the nerves, I command them to be restored in the name of Jesus. He is the God of restoration. Hear again, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hear again in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And immediately, it says that Paul, Saul, received his sight. Hallelujah. And God changed his name. Hallelujah. Some of you are getting ready to have a name changed. Wow. Wow. From lack to more than enough. From sick to healed. Wow. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, the God of more than enough that wants to bless you. Wow. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. I've never heard a word from the Spirit of the Lord about this, but those that are experiencing hair loss in your hair, and it's become a depression to you. It's become a seems like a spirit of oppression. I just speak to whatever's causing the hair loss to be restored in the name of Jesus. Begin to see new hair growth where there has no growth been. Whatever's caused it, I speak hair growth to begin to grow again in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Even now. Even now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Lord, we give you praise. We count it as done. We count it as done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just speak God's favor over all of you all this week. Go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Go out and tell somebody about Jesus this week. And just receive all that God has for you. And everybody said, amen, amen and amen.